Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Tuesday. And lots to get to today. It's a weird day. I want to talk Sixers because, for obvious reasons, the deadline's coming up the 25th and we're all hankering, like, who is Morey going to get? The D-Day is upon us, right? Daryl Morey Day. And who's he going to get, right? He's going to get somebody. But I was listening to John this morning and Bobby and Jamie and Pat, the whole crew, and John said something that I actually really believe in. And he said that the Sixers are the next biggest thing in sports. So the next biggest thing would mean a title, you know, multiple runs toward another title. I'm not going to define it by saying you got to win, you know, you got to be a dynasty. But the next big thing in sports is the Sixers. And it's funny because I can close my eyes and I can see it. Like, I feel it. I didn't articulate it that way. I had said over the last, it's been over the last month or so, where I said I have this overwhelming feeling that they're going to win it in the next couple years. And I don't know, maybe it's this year. But I had this feeling that they're going to win it. And it's like a really good feeling. And you guys know, if you watch sports and you follow sports the way we do, you ever get those hunches? Like, sometimes I can have a hunch on, like, he's going to score a goal right here, or he's going to hit a home run right here. Like, I don't know how to explain it other than you feel it, like, in the pit of your stomach. And it's such a fascinating thing because it's a fleeting thing, right? It's, you can't explain it, but there's a hunch involved. Now, I did not see if you go back to 2017 when the Eagles won, I felt great about them when they got Ajayi and when they were, you know, kind of making their run. However, I didn't, you know, when Wentz got hurt, I didn't think it was a Super Bowl run. But there were others who did. There were others upon us who really believed. They could smell it. That it was going to be a Super Bowl run, that they were going to win it. Now, I will say this, the day of the Super Bowl, I strangely did not have an ounce of worry. Like, I was positive they were going to win, and it was different than in Jacksonville. When I was in Jacksonville for the 04 Super Bowl in February 05, I remember thinking, I had a bad feeling. And, of course, you know, how it all played out. And the interesting thing is they should have won, right? When you go back to it, first half they outplayed the Patriots. But this concept of having a hunch, I feel it. And I got to ask you guys if you guys are on board with this. And again, you know, you look at it now, this is pre-deadline. We all believe that Morey's going to do something. I mean, that's in his nature. His nature is that dude's a traitor. I went back and I looked at all of his, like, moves as a GM. I mean, he's busy. I mean, you know that he can't wait for Thursday to do something. It's just a matter of who is it? Are we missing? I don't understand the Oladipo thing. There's a lot of there was a lot of talk about Oladipo not, you know, fetching more than a second round pick. I don't get it. I mean, the other night, I don't know if people are watching him. The other night, I watched him score 35. I mean, I don't know, you know, I didn't see his medicals, right? And I know he hasn't played because I think they want to move him by the deadline. But I watched him score 35 in about three quarters. And he can flat out play. He can still play. He can contribute. I love him. Like, I actually love him. And I like him better than Lowry. Now, I do like Lowry a lot, so that's saying something. But I think he's a spacer. I think he's a guy that can still handle the ball, be a secondary ball handler. I mean, a lot he can do, and he's a willing defender. So, you know, obviously those two are the leaders, and there's a lot of other names that are floating by. And I hear the, you know, I heard John say that Thybulle is untouchable. So, I don't think he's an all-star. However, I get where John's coming from in that, and I've always thought this, that I think he's such a great defender, and that's the soul of your team, that I would prefer not to give him up. Like, if I had to give up Maxey or Thybulle, I think Maxey would be a better offensive player, but I'd give up Maxey. If I had to give up Thybulle or Shake, I'd give up Shake, even though Shake's a better scorer. Only because I want to preserve the soul of defense. Because I do think the soul of this team comes on the defensive side of the basketball, on that side of the floor. So I'm curious, but I'm curious if you guys feel the same way. Are we looking at the next big thing in sports, the process Sixers? Like, I close my eyes and I can hear the national pundits talking about them. And the process Sixers about to win their first championship and play and pay off the process. I can close my eyes and I can see it and I can hear it. And that's a big part of being able to visualize. Like, I can't visualize, like the Eagles, I can't visualize anything other than bleakness. I mean, quite frankly. The Flyers, another heartbreaking loss last night, albeit overtime, but I mean, they outshot them 75-2, basically, right? Like, they outplayed them for 2.5 periods. Then they tie it, and then you lose in an overtime. That's a crushing loss. Another crushing loss. So I think they need an offseason and they need a makeover, right? You got a lot of core, but you need a makeover still. And then I'm excited about the Phillies. I do want to talk about the Phillies today. But again, it's, you know, this will be the beginning of the ascent for the Phillies. Good game last night in the spring. Nola. Yanks. Pretty good. Good morning, Tunis.
What's going on, man? How are you?
We doing, bro? I'm back in the studio today.
Oh yeah, that's right. Welcome back. Did I say welcome back?
Well, you're still in the friendly confines.
Yeah, I'm still in third floor bedroom to the left.
Right.
Yeah. Broadcasting live.
But I see Dylan.
Well, that's good.
I get to see Dylan today.
Give Dylan a wave for me.
I'm doing it right now. The D-Train doing a hell of a job, man.
Yeah, of course he is. I love the D-Train.
Yes.
I love this. I love talking about the potential bigness of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Wait, could you visualize it, Andrew?
Yeah, I can. I mean, it's, you have been on it from the beginning. There was something about leading into this season where you felt good. And this was not radio fodder. This was not fanboy. This was nothing right. Like that. You felt it. And that's when you started talking about Embiid winning the MVP, which, listen, if the guy doesn't get hurt, and who knows, he still could, but if the guy doesn't go down, he was on pace to potentially winning the MVP award throughout the NBA, which is awesome. And there is that feel, and that is real, the sports feel. And right? I don't know. I think you have to be invested in the sports. Like, you have to actually know sports to get that feel. But you're right. It's there. Because I feel, too. Like, I feel that this team, who I do think can improve, and I think they still should improve, and I don't think Daryl Morey should sit on his hands and say, you know what, no, this roster's gotten us this far, and we don't think we need to make any improvements. No, this team can still improve, and they still should, to really solidify their chances of trying to get to the NBA Finals and potentially winning. But right now, this team's pretty damn good as it is. And it's now gotten to the point where every single night, we're expecting a win, which is why guys, fans get so angry over the smallest things, because they're so good that you're now expecting close to damn near perfection every single night from this team. They're 4-1 without Embiid over the last five. Yeah. That's crazy.
I know.
Right? We were hoping for 5-5. They're 4-1 so far.
Yeah. They can collapse and still meet our expectation of 5-5.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is incredible.
And now we'll end up getting upset because we'll go, how can you go from 4-1 to 5-5? Yeah.
But I don't get the sense that this team has prolonged collapsible moments.
You're right. I don't either.
I think they're too well coached. So, real quick, just to touch on the idea of feeling it, right? That do you have moments where you go, he's going to hit a home run here, and he does?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have.
He's going to score a goal.
Right.
I feel Farabee ready to score a goal. And boom, he'll score a goal.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
That's knowing the sport, too, right? You know the streaks. Like, all right, this guy's been on a wicked cold streak. This is when he comes out of it, right? This is, hey, you're due. You're going to, even if it's not a run, you're going to drive in a couple runs.
You know what's funny? I don't know. Maybe I'm weird, but I'm, this is more hunch than it is intellectual. Now, I don't know. Maybe you're...
Well, it goes into it.
Right. Maybe that's part of it. But, man, that feeling, that hunch feeling, like you're not trying to feel. You just go, oh, my God, I think he's going to hit a home run. Like, you just think, he's going to hit a home run here. And sure enough, boom. And it's weird. I can't explain the feeling. It's so fleeting, but there's a rhythm to this stuff, and you can almost see a pattern, and then it goes away. It's fleeting.
Yeah,
does that make sense to you?
It does, and I'll tell a specific story. I remember going to the 07 final game of the regular season, game 162. I was going with my dad and my mom, and we were sitting in traffic on Route 42, which you know well, and how awful that can be at times. And we're sitting in traffic, and I was listening to a specific song, and it got to the crescendo part of it, right? And I remember just going, I said out loud to my parents, in the car, they're winning today, and everything, they're getting into the playoffs today. And this was before the Marlins took the lead against the Mets, right? This is before any of that stuff. We hadn't gotten to the ballpark yet, but we were sitting in traffic. I still remember my dad being so angry because he just wanted to get to the ballpark in time, and that, rightfully so. But I remember just sitting in the car going, they're making the playoffs today.
See, that's awesome.
Just a feeling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. No, you're right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That hunch, that knowing feeling is, and it's something you can't explain. It's all, yeah. No, you got it.
That's when somebody asks you and goes, how do you know they're going to get to the finals? Well, I just know.
Right.
Like, it's just one of those. Like, I can't explain
it. I feel like these Sixers, I just feel like they're going to win it. I think they're going to win it. And you can almost see how, it makes sense, too. Like, right, you have the process, right? Imagine, a chart, right? So you have the process, and you start well down, right? And then you shoot up incrementally year by year, and you make the playoffs, right? And then you got the Raptors series is the high point. Then it goes down and dips from last year, and now it's going to reach loftier heights.
Yeah, because they had the disappointment of the Raptors loss, that quadruple doink, but then they had the smack in the face moment where clearly there was issues going on with both Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I'm not saying in terms of their relationship. I'm saying both of them individually had issues last year.
Sure.
And I think they came to realize, you know, we got to take this thing a little bit more seriously. And Bede obviously matured. Ben obviously matured. I think getting Brett Brown out of here because maybe he was a little too close with the players and bringing in a guy with pedigree and Doc Rivers goes a long way. I mean, we should still be thanking the Clippers for firing Doc Rivers for whatever reason they decided to.
I agree.
But they fired Doc Rivers, and Doc Rivers comes in here with his pedigree and his, you know, different kind of personality. Obviously, it looks like he connects with the players, but you know, he's a coach, right? Like, I'm not saying Brett Brown wasn't a coach, but he even himself said he wants to nurture guys more than coach at times, right?
I nurture.
Like, he said that about Fultz. I'm more worried about nurturing him. I don't give a damn about Markelle Fultz's nurturing. Coach the damn kid.
Listen, I agree with you. I agree. You don't need... It's not about the nurture.
No, you're not a babysitter, Brett. You're the head coach.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that. It's what made him both endearing and right for the process. I mean, he was great for the process.
He was.
I mean, he really was. And then, you know, there reaches a point and a growth period where, you know.
It's time to win.
Somebody else has to come in to finish. And it's a shame because... You know, that's basically what happened. You know, it's a shame. In a perfect world, he finishes it out.
Yeah,
right?
That's the storybook ending.
Right? And, you know, here's a guy who sacrificed his whole record with all those losses.
Yes.
Right? Like, really? Like, you sacrifice your record.
Well,
that's
a
big deal.
I remember one of the games when they were on the national spotlight, and I forget if it was year one when they won 50 games or year two. But pregame, they showed both coaches, and they show their career records. And, you know, Brett Brown's was like 200 games below 500, right? And I remember saying out loud, like, they should put an asterisk next to that.
Right.
Because it's not, you know, it's not his fault that
he's
got a career record
numbers.
Under 200 real
exactly.
games.
Exactly. 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 All right, real quick, got to touch on. Flyers outshoot the Islanders. They came out a team focused. And, you know, again, we know the story. You go up nine, you lose 9-0, you come back, you win, you beat the Islanders after blowing a 3-goal lead, then you lose 6-1. Then last night they came out focused again. They outshot the Islanders 37-20 only to suffer an overtime loss. They made the Lindblom goal stand up for most of the game, and then you give up the goal, and it's Elliott and net. And then you lose in overtime. They're in a bad way right now, Andrew.
Yeah, you're not in a spot where you go, well, at least they got the all-important point. No, you need to get 2 points out of every possible opportunity that you have. And they had another one yesterday.
Especially when you dominate play the way they dominated play last night.
Yeah, and it just shows. Yesterday's a perfect example to show that they don't have a legit goal scorer. Right? Like you said, they outshoot the Islanders, and they can put one puck in net.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, it wasn't lucky, but you know, it went off Lindblom's skate too. It's not even like he fired in with his stick. It went off his skate. He made a nice play.
Yeah.
But you go, you know, all right, you outshot the Islanders and you finish with one goal, and then you go to overtime and they had nothing.
Yeah. Now they were spent.
And you know, it is a shame how many games they've been playing, but so is the rest of the league.
Yeah, no, you can't.
You know what I mean? Like
they were spent, and they were cocked, and that was what. That's
and,
what.
And now
was.
They got another game tonight, and it's like, geez, now coming off of an overtime performance.
Yeah, it's bad.
Where I'll give them credit; they gave it their all yesterday. But you know, I'm not giving participation trophies here. 1 point is not enough for you right now. You're in fifth in your division.
No, I know, I know.
You're out of the playoffs.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Real quick, fact or fiction? Aaron Nola last night, 6 innings, 1 hit, 0 walks, 9 strikeouts against the Yankees. And the Yankees had everybody, LeMahieu, Stanton, Hicks, I mean, Judge, everybody's in there. Fact or fiction with Nola, I mean, 6 innings, 1 hit, 9 Ks.
Yeah, incredible.
Man, so think about that. We got lots to get to. including a baseball thing. I mean, are the Sixers, can you feel it? Are they the next big thing in sports? I love that John said it earlier today, and it's kind of been on my radar the whole time. I loved how he articulated it, which is, are they the next big thing in sports? I've had the hunch that they're going to win it. And I've said so to Andrew numerous times over the next couple of years. I just can't pinpoint when. But that would speak to the process Sixers becoming the story of the NBA. And I think it's real. All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. Don't forget your yo's. Already got a couple yo's in. That's our version of a shout out. It's a yo. And you can let us know via Twitter or Instagram or wherever you want to call us and give a yo to a local business who listens to us, maybe, or somebody who has done something. Like, I got a yo for someone, for a youngin' who had his first dunk yesterday.
Oh,
which is awesome. And I'm going to give him a yo. That's how you reach us, 610-632-0975. Let me now talk to you about Pets Plus. We just talk about yo's and shopping local, and that's why it was born, to give awareness to our local businesses. Therefore, this is now Pets Plus Natural, not just locally owned and operated, but the number one priority is the health of your dog, of your pet. They know how you feel about your pet, how we feel. How we know they're a part of the family and we want them to live such a long and healthy life. Well, so do the people at Pets Plus Natural. They're fantastic. Check them out at PetsPlusNatural.com. Enroll in the free rewards program. It's called Paw Points. Paw Points allows you to earn points on every purchase. Then you can spend those points like cash, meaning free dog and cat food. The knowledgeable, friendly team members always standing by at all Pets Plus Natural locations to answer any questions you might have about your pet's food, treats, health needs, you name it. And remember, leash pets always welcome at Pets Plus Natural. They love meeting your furry family members. Several local stores, there's bound to be one near you. Check it out, PetsPlusNatural.com. That's PetsPlusNatural.com. And tell them my Gagoots and my Prima sent you.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, time now for some morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up! Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
You know what I was thinking about, Tunis?
What?
Two things. One, I was nursing a sore right foot. You know why?
Why?
Because I got hit with a line drive by my kid.
Oh, Moss did it.
Yeah. So we had the town practice, the rec practice yesterday. So I'm pitching, and he hits a line drive back right up the middle, and it just crushes my foot. Right in the inside, you know, the inside.
Oh yeah,
where you're, you know, the instant, the you know, right on the bone.
Yeah, there's like no fat there.
Oh, it's just skin square, and bone. Square, right there. And you know the now listen, you know what he does? I go damn right like that. I try not to curse because I wanted to say mother. Yeah.
You got all the other kids there,
right? Yeah. All those little kids. So I went damn. Oof. And I had to walk it off for a minute, right? And I look over at him, and he's smiling.
Oh, he's proud of himself.
Yeah.
Because he knows it hurt. That means he hit it hard.
Right. Right. So there was a gigantic, like, black and blue mark on it.
Yeah.
Right? So I go, yo, dude, you want to see what you did to my foot? This kid comes running over like I'm handing him a slice of pizza.
Oh, and he's probably celebrating.
Yeah.
He's probably got his wicked smile on his face.
Yes, through the fact that he hurt his father.
That's amazing.
But I started thinking about baseball. Okay. And that'll be my second thought. All right? So go ahead.
No, no, go ahead.
You go, and then I'll go.
I mean, I got nothing. And I have one concern, actually.
I got nothing.
No.
You woke up thinking about nothing today?
Well, yeah, I got the fog head still. But I got one concern, and it's my morning thought. And I got to try to plan this out. And maybe I need your advice.
Okay.
So this COVID, even though I feel great now, right? Uh-huh. The two things that I'm still kind of dealing with are I have no smell. I still can't smell anything.
Still can't smell.
Can't smell a damn thing. Thank God I can still taste, which sounds weird, but I can still taste, thank God.
Right.
The other thing is I am wiped out by the end of the day, which is like dumb because I'm doing nothing, right? Like I do this show and then I sit out back because I got nothing else to do. I might as well sit
in
the sun.
Your body's fighting it, and so it's using all of its energy to combat the COVID.
I have not been up past 9 o'clock since the Sixers-Bucks game when they went to overtime. And sure enough, that was the worst night, probably because I fought staying up the entire time.
And you got Golden State tonight.
Yeah. So I go major nap?
Yeah.
I have to.
You got to go nap. No, listen. When I got my second shot, I didn't feel right. And it's weird. Like, I still feel somewhat, like, beat up, like, tired.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. So, but if I were you, I'd take the nap.
Okay. Because right? That's the first thing I thought of this morning.
Because you got to watch tonight. Tonight's a great game.
Yeah.
Plus, they're back. Anytime they play, I think you got to be in.
I've been sleeping 12 hours. Straight.
Well, your body tells you something.
Last night I fell asleep. I think around 8:45. Not that I tried to fall asleep. It's just like I was like, all right, I'm done. And I woke up at 8:00 today.
Yeah.
So just and that was with the alarm, right? Like if the alarm didn't go off, who knows how much longer I'm going?
I know.
It's crazy. No.
Your body needs it. It's telling you something.
So that was really my only thought today.
Yeah. All right. Here's my baseball thought because I was thinking I had a conversation. Before I did the practice yesterday
with somebody
who was at the field and one of the fathers, it was before the kids, we started talking about baseball, and he started hitting me with, you know, MLB really needs to change a lot of things up. And he started going on about length of games and all your typical baseball needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be real with you. I'm at the point where if you don't like baseball, then you don't like baseball. And that's what it is. Like, that's the game. You can't change the game so dramatically. Like, you never will make baseball have the hockey or basketball feeling of up and down.
Yep.
That's not the sport.
Yeah,
so you either like the sport or you don't like the sport. And there's nothing, you can't play speed baseball.
No.
It doesn't work.
It's awful.
I don't understand why, you know, there's still this hue and cry about, oh, you gotta quicken the pace, Well, I mean, that's the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I hate this constant argument. And there was another story this weekend of baseball needs to really address the pace of play. And I go, how? Tell me how. Like, it's so easy to write these stories. Like, oh my God, I can't sit through three and a half hours of a sporting event. I don't care. Tell me how. What's your reasoning that you're? How are you going to speed up the game? Are you going to make it two outs an inning? Like I used to play wiffle ball in my backyard. Right? Like, are you going to junk it up by doing two outs an inning? Are you
going to
do seven inning games, which is just stupid ridiculous?
Like, the seven inning doubleheader? I hate it. It's not real baseball.
No, it's not. Are guys not allowed to look at balls anymore? Swing at every pitch? What is it exactly that you're going to change that's going to speed up the pace
of
play?
And here's the other thing, too. You know, I don't understand this window of a sporting event. Either you want to go to a game, or you don't want to go to a game. But once you go to a game, you realize that it could be anywhere from 2 hours and 10 minutes to 4 hours, right? You don't know. I mean, that's how long the game is, the game is. So if you want to leave, then leave. I don't know why you got to put it in a window. Like, you know, TV is TV. I understand that they prefer to be in a certain window, but you're just because you shorten a game or quicken the pace, it's still not going to draw people that you've ancillary fans. Either they like the game itself or they don't.
Right, exactly. So there's no point of junking up the game just to make it go, what, 30 minutes quicker? Really? Like, so you're going to make the game dumb to cut out 30 minutes of baseball?
Exactly.
I don't get it. Do I think there's issues with baseball in terms of the length of the season? Yeah, I do. They should probably cut it back. I really do believe that. Do I think maybe if you put, like, that pitch clock, I've been saying it from the beginning, as soon as they implemented the pitch clock, that was a BS rule because it's 25 seconds. Most guys take 25 seconds to pitch. Most guys actually were using all 25. Like, they're like, oh, I still have 5 seconds. I might as well wait. Like, the pitch clock, for them to actually speed up the pace of play, needs to be like 10 to 15 seconds. But now that's just dumb. Because now, guys that have been taught since they were kids on how to control the pace the way that you want it to as a pitcher, what, you're going to make them pitch in 10 seconds?
I know.
You can't do that.
No, you can't. You mess up the game. And that's all that's happening. And it's the thing where you go, either you like the game or you don't like the game. All right, I still think there's a lot of people, and I know from being at those fields every day, there's a lot of kids who like the game. So that's the game. It's what it is.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
He does a great job covering the Sixers for the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Keith Pompey. Keithy!
What's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, man? How's the Bay Area treating you?
It's good. I wish I was just waking up, man. Yesterday, like, I woke up this morning thinking I was on the East Coast. It's like, oh.
Yeah, that's so
easy. 3 o'clock, where everybody at?
I always hated those days, like, where you go, oh, my God, like where am I? I'm sure when you're a beat guy, man, you have no concept of where you're at sometimes. You wake up in a hotel room.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. The first time I was in Dallas, that happened. Like, they were playing on a back-to-back. Well, they had a back-to-back, and then they had an off day in, like, Dallas, because they played Dallas the next day. So I wake up in Dallas, and I still thought I was in New Orleans. And, like, I had to go downstairs to, like, the front desk, and I asked the lady, where am I? You know what I mean? Where am I? And she laughed, and she said, you cover, like, a team. And I said, yeah. And she says, well, you know, this is kind of normal. Like, people forget sometimes where they are. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, I remember that. When I was in New York, and they would keep me, I used to do these, like, and you know what kind of budget, travel budget we used to have back in the day. And I would be all over the place. They'd say, where you at? And I go, I'm in Phoenix. And they go, all right, well, why don't you go to L.A.? And they, go to San Francisco. Go to Seattle. And I'm like, trekking. All right. And then, like, next thing you know, it's, you know, 2.5 months later, you haven't been home. I'm like, where am I? It's crazy. So I got a question. The deadline Thursday. What do you think, man? What are you hearing? Who are you feeling? How key is the Lowry thing? How real is the Lowry thing? What's the latest, Keith?
You know, the thing with the whole Lowry thing is, and if you notice, like, I think I had, like, a month ago with the whole, I kind of broke down, like, how it would happen.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, it's weird because there's a lot of different things coming out of Toronto. Like, you know, at some point they're saying, Well, maybe we may keep them. We're doing this, we're doing that. And I think what they do, what they're doing is they're actually also driving up the price, right? You know, right now, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Miami might be the front runner. I mean, right now, Miami lost, you know, I believe it was 3 games in a row, and they need a point guard. You know, you look at the Clippers also need a point guard as well. But, you know, the thing is, I think that if you're the 76ers, you know, you would have to get a third team involved to make that move, just because, you know, you don't want to give up a Ben Simmons. You don't want to give up a Tobias. You know, you're not going to give up a Joel. Outside of that, like, you really don't have the assets to make a move like that. Now, again, you really? Do have some young guys. I think so. And this is what I'm saying. Okay.
So I'm thinking like Matisse, I mean, Maxey and or Matisse, and then the Danny Green or Scott to make the money work and picks. That doesn't get Lowry at 35?
Not if you're here's the thing. This is the deal. So you could give them Danny Green back. You could give them Matisse. You could give them the whole thing. But it's not like they're the only person competing with them. You know what I mean? Like,
right, Miami.
Name a young guard off of Miami's team. And then a guy who you said, like, you know, this guy was in the championship last year who was playing. So that's what I mean, like, by that. Yeah. Like, that's why I say the Sixers have to get a third team. Now, my thing is, I don't know if I want to get rid of Matisse. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
I feel you. I know we've been talking about it all morning. I know.
I mean, dude, you mess around like that. What's the guy? Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
Like Jeremy Grant, yeah. They gave up on the Sixers saying he can't shoot.
Yeah.
You know, this and that.
Kind of a nice ball player. Yeah.
Look at him now. Yeah. Like, and Matisse has a higher upside to me.
I agree because he plays defense. Yeah, I agree. Now, I looked at Shamit. Like, I was actually disappointed in the player that Shamit is. I thought he'd be much better. But you're right. I mean, Matisse does things. He's a great kid too, and he's a hell of a defender. Max, I would prefer to give up Maxey because he's still a ways away. I love the kid, but he's a ways away. And Thibault can actually help you win a title now.
Yeah, and like, you know, Maxey is a point guard. I mean, so a combo guard. So if you're Toronto, you may say it, but at the same time, we're also talking about the guys, because if you give up a Danny Green or you give up someone, you're basically swapping salaries. But then at the end of the day, you're stuck with, I mean, not stuck with, but you have a young guy in Maxey and you have an additional draft pick, you know, which is okay. So I just traded him for a young guy in Maxey, an additional draft pick. But at the same time, if you could get Hero from Miami, come on, man. And then, like, the thing about it is the Clippers, if I'm the Clippers the way they're playing right now, you know, I know that I know that I really want Kyle just because, A, you know, the Clippers, let's face it, they got to compete with the Lakers in L.A. and they have to win a championship. And B, you know, Ty Lue and Chauncey Billups are like big brothers to Kyle. You know, it's really close. He would be a perfect fit, and he's cool with Kawhi and all these other guys. So he would be a perfect fit there, too. So I'm not saying it's not going to happen because it could happen. I'm just saying, like, the Sixers just have to, you know, in my opinion, they'll probably have to get some help from a third team to help them out. And then Daryl Morey's going to have to decide what is he willing to give up for Kyle Lowry.
Talking to Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward. Keith, so what about the guy I want the most, to be honest with you? The guy I love is Oladipo. Well, now, A, would Houston deal with Daryl Morey? And B, what would it take? Because I hear the NBA on TNT said it costs you nothing to get Oladipo.
Yeah, that's what NBA TNT. Now I wonder if, you know, like you said, if they'll have the same discount for Daryl.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
As for other teams. But, you know, I think he would be, you know, I think he's interesting. The thing about Oladipo is, and again, on paper, you know, you bring in Victor Oladipo, and, you know, he would be an upgrade to some of the players that they have, you know, in the starting lineup, right? The thing is, though, is he going to mesh well with Ben? You know what I mean? Because, you know, Victor Oladipo, you know, isn't the type of guy who he'll stand in the corner and he'll just wait till the ball comes to him. He likes having the ball in his hands. Ben likes having the ball in his hands. Now, again, I know Ben is this multifaceted player now, and he, you know, he plays all these multiple positions. But, you know, you got to figure out, is that really going to work out? Is that going to be a mix? Now, some people can argue the same thing for Kyle, but Kyle has proven that he can play alongside other point guards, so to speak. So that's the question right there. And then also,
yeah, I mean,
like,
but Kyle's played opposite Van Fleet and all. But I always thought that I always thought Oladipo was more of a two than he was a one. Like, I agree with you. He likes the ball in his hands, but that, like, to me was more of a, I got a secondary ball handler for when I want to mess around with Ben in the dunker spot or post him up or do something like that. And I don't know. I mean, like, he spaces the floor better than Lowry.
He does, but at the same time, he likes the ball. I mean, he really likes the ball. Like, I think if you're going to go get somebody who likes the ball, it's going to be someone that's going to not look for their shot. They're going to come out there looking for other people. You know what I mean? Like, Victor, that's the biggest mix you got to see is if Victor Oladipo is going to fit. Now, we're sitting here talking about him, and I watch they go get him. Right.
I don't know. To me, they still need scoring punch.
Yeah, but what about the knee? How do you feel about the knee?
I'm sitting here in the studio in Ballard Kenwood, right? So I don't have all the data when it comes to the knee. I will tell you, the other day, I watched him score 35, right? It was last week, and I remember watching him. His knee looked great. Like, there was no laboring. He scored 35 and sat out most of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I watched it. I watched it in my own eyes. The second and third quarter, he went off, Keith, and he looked great. And he could shoot it, man. It's another guy who can actually shoot the ball.
Yeah, you know what? I like him. My concern is his knee. And I understand you said he had 35 points, but typically I want to know how many points did he have the next day and how much did he play after that the next day, right? Again, a great player. But
yeah,
my two
truth
concerns
is he didn't play the next day.
He didn't?
Nope. Because I followed everything. No, he didn't play.
See, that's the thing. And so that's a factor. Now, again, in the playoffs, you don't have to worry about that because they have a couple of days in between. But my thing is, I like him. I just want to see how is he going to be a great mesh. Now, the thing about Oladipo, you know, there's a lot of people thinking, and before all this stuff happened, you know, they all thought that in free agency, you know, he was going to go to Miami.
Right.
Go down there. So the question is like, now, if you can get him next to nothing, oh, that's great because you got a little rental for next to nothing to upgrade your roster. But if you have to give up something and then all of a sudden, it's a 2 month rental and you don't win the championship and then he leaves and you gave up assets and you're like, wow. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I hear you, but why wouldn't he? I guess my argument is like, I mean, right now he's in a wasteland on a bad team. He comes to Philadelphia, and he's a part of a team that's really, really good. Don't I have an inside track at re-signing him? Assuming he wants to win. I mean, you add him to that mix, and, you know, that's a title team.
That's a title team, but also it's kind of like when people say they want to go to Miami, that's telling me, like, okay, basketball is important to me, too. But I also want to go to Miami. Tax-free state. There's a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, unfortunately, and I'm not saying this about him, but you know about pro sports.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of these guys, when they're in their prime, is all about getting paid. and going to a city that's really a nice, great city.
Yeah.
When they start getting older is when dudes start talking about championships. You know, they want to get paid first. You know what I mean? They just want to get paid. And Miami has a lot of cap space.
All right. Anybody else? Let's go to Keith Pompey, inquire.com. Is there anybody else that we haven't really, like, of note that you're thinking? I mean, man, I've been looking at rosters and scouring, you know, the Norman Powells, the Rosses, the Ellingtons. You know, there's a range of players. Is Bellizia, is there anybody that you're sniffing out, other names to keep an eye on?
There's two guys that I really like. And, I mean, I like personally for the Sixers. One is Norman Powell, right?
Yeah.
You talked about it. You know, I think he can come in and have, like, an Alec Burks type of role for them coming off the bench.
Yeah, and he's better,
but
too.
But he's a better player. Yeah. But he's, exactly, better. And then, you know, the one, it's funny, I was talking to a guy before about Terrence Ross, and he was like, man, you like him? He doesn't start. I'm like, dude, he can start if they wanted him to.
Oh, yeah.
I said, it's just a better role. You know what I mean? Because the guy's like, oh, man, he comes off the bench. I like him for coming off the bench. Because, see, the thing with the Sixers bench right now is they have some guys, when everything is going great, they look great. But they got some guys who are extremely inconsistent, and you know that, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you bring a guy in like that, I think that's the type of guy who can elevate your bench to the level of where they can, like, you know, you can trust that, you know, they can, you know, compete to get to a
because right now you rely too heavily on scoring from Shake and Korkmaz.
Yeah.
You do. It's too you rely too heavily on those guys. Shake isn't a lock scorer yet, and Korkmaz isn't a lock. Like, there'll be nights when he can't hit at one out of every four nights. You know, it's the only time he's looking like he can hit, have those nights where he's banging down threes, knocking down shots. And in the playoffs, when you get guarded like that, every possession, it makes it more difficult.
Exactly. I agree 100%. And it's going to get tougher. And here's a guy that, like, you know, he's been doing it for years. I mean, the only thing that scares me about Terrence Ross is that he's one of those guys who's been torching the Sixers so much. And sometimes, you know, you're like, okay, well, since he's dominating them, I know we can go after him, get him. But, you know, but at the same time, it's not like, you know, I think he's proven. Like, he's done it to a lot of other
teams.
Oh,
yeah, I agree.
I really like him a lot. I mean, that's a guy who I like a lot. And, you know, a guy who's been on their radar for years, you know, that's the guy I really like a lot.
All right. Great conversation, Keith. Man, I could talk to you all day long, man. I love it. Enjoy the West Coast. Watch yourself. Be careful. And it'll be a lot of fun. So enjoy, babe.
All right, my man.
Thanks, my brother. There he is, Keith Pompey. Does a great job.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.